When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Flushing is Burning. As always, I'm Grace. This week, we had the first actual spring training baseball games. You know, it's funny, I spent a lot of the offseason, because obviously the season last year did not end super great in terms of vibes or in terms of anything. In the offseason, you know, it was slow and boring and nothing really happened. So I spent a lot of the offseason, especially the last couple months, basically being like, whatever. Who cares? Baseball, it's not on. Who gives a shit? Whatever. And then I turned on a spring training baseball game, and my immediate reaction was, God, I missed this so much. You know, Keith Hernandez had an off day like 3 seconds into the season, which is great. Good for him. Going to celebrate his brother getting inducted into their college baseball Hall of Fame or Sports Hall of Fame, whatever. But largely, the Mets have looked pretty fine this spring training. Not terrible. And obviously, none of this matters. All the players are just sort of getting warmed up. But the pitchers have been mostly okay, with a few exceptions. The hitters have been mostly okay. Alvarez hit a big home run. That was personally very exciting. Trace Thompson's kind of going on a tear. He feels like a candidate for like some wacky, like, 3 week run where he's just hitting 500 and we're like, oh my god, Trace Thompson, and he's not gonna be anything, but it'll be fun. But yeah, I'm wondering if this is gonna be the start of the Mets feel good team narrative. You know, they're not one of the top teams in the league, but they're gonna shoot for one of those wild card spots and they'll try and maneuver their way in, and they're just gonna be like maybe just like a fun vibes team, which after last year, I would rather have a fun vibes team than like a disappointment bad vibes team. So it's gonna be fun. Obviously, we're trying to get an eye on some of the newer players who might be joining the team this year, especially the pitchers from the minors, and looking for some development in some of the recent call ups, maybe some new call ups. So this season might genuinely be a lot of fun. The one moment thus far of spring training that hasn't really been feel-good vibes, at least for me, we had two games of Daniel Murphy in the booth. And preface this with the thing that I was saying when we talked about Danny Murphy, which is the time period in which Danny Murphy played for the Mets, I was largely tuned out of. I have no real emotions about him. When I started watching again, I believe he was a National, and then the Rockies never retired, and then came back and never retired. I don't have any sort of emotional attachment to him from watching him play or thinking he was a fun guy or whatever. The only thing that I remember of Daniel Murphy as a Met is even that postseason. I was kind of, the 2015 postseason, I was kind of like half tuned out because I figured like, oh, they're just going to peter out because I spent my entire life rooting for the Mets and I had no reason to believe that they wouldn't otherwise. So I was like half paying attention and they made it to the World Series and I turned on the World Series and he constantly looked like dog shit in the field. And the only other thing I remember, and this I remember very distinctly, and I've talked about this before, the comments that he made, those infamous comments. Remember when he said that? And I just remember at the time, my favorite Met of the time period, this is gonna sound wild, my favorite Met of the time period was literally Ike Davis. and so I wasn't super tuned in on non-Ike Davis stuff. Although I think he made the comments a little bit after the Ike Davis time period, but whatever. That time period, I wasn't super tuned in, but I remember being in high school, and one of my best friends, who is still one of my best friends to this day, love her. If you're listening, Megan, I love you. I remember her coming up to me in the hallway. I hadn't really seen anything. Maybe I saw one thing about it, and we talked about it, and she was like, yeah. I remember her basically saying something to the effect of, like, well, he used to be my favorite player, something like that. And that I distinctly remember. Nothing else really clicks with me. And, like, it's conflicting in the way that, like, Brooks Raley is conflicting. Where, like, he's fine. Like Dan Murphy was fine in the booth. I don't have anything particularly terrible to say about him. I don't have anything particularly positive to say about him. He was fine. He kind of spoke a little low, had a little bit of mumbles at certain points. I didn't catch a ton of the games. I was, one of the 2 days I was running around, and I kind of missed, like, the first half of the game or whatever. And then the second game, I think I had to leave to do something, and I came back and turned it on. It was, like, the fourth inning or whatever. So I only caught, like, half of the games, but, like, that part of that was also, like, his presence. Knowing he was going to be in the booth, especially when I had seen people posting right during that first game, like, in the first inning, like, oh, Daniel Murphy's here. Like, I don't want to watch it. Like, I don't really want to listen to this guy. And it's not the same level, and I don't want to make them out to be the same thing, because I believe that they're both bad, but actions will always be worse than words, because actions can actually hurt people themselves. The words would then lead to the actions that would cause people to be hurt, but actions are always going to be worse than words. But I wish that the Mets, much like I wish that they would do this with Jose Reyes, I wish they would just stop associating with Daniel Murphy. But I know they're not going to, because it's the amount of fans that feel the way I do is much lower than the amount of fans who don't give a shit, who just go, oh man, 2015, all those home runs, that was great. Most of the people I know are like that, and I'm not judging them for that. I'm not going to sit here and be like, you're a terrible person, because I get it. The feeling of the words that he said carry a lot less weight with other people than they do for someone like me, especially consider the time that he made these comments. I was in high school, and I think at the time, just thinking about it, I'm going to say that was like 2013 or 2014, I was closeted. Words like that sting, you know, when you're that young and you're in that sort of situation. And if, like, domestic violence isn't enough of a reason for them to cut off Jose Reyes, then why would homophobic comments be enough of a reason for them to cut off anywhere? I mean, they're employing someone who made homophobic comments like 2 years ago. But yeah, it just that it sucks. It sucks. And if there's people listening to this, I assume if you're listening to this, you're probably closer to my point of view, even if you're not agreeing with me, or you don't feel the same way I do. But if you're listening to this and you feel the same way, like, just know like I'm there with you. You know, like I feel all of it. It sucks. It sucks to see, you know. It's just like it's him being in the booth is like a few more moments of the death of a thousand cuts of this league doesn't really give a shit about me. As much as they do their pride nights and those are fun and they're good in the communal sense. The league and the owners don't actually care about us. Finally, let's end this on a somewhat more positive note. I don't want to say happier, but it's more positive. Steve, I don't believe I talked about this last week. Steve Cohen talked about Pete Alonso's free agency. And it kind of feels like this is like the fullest picture, the most candid comments we've gotten about this, which isn't really surprising because David Stearns is going to do the president of baseball operations thing of like saying nothing. And Pete Alonso is going to do the like, of course I love it here, but say nothing about actually, like, because you can't give up the goat on either side. Steve Cohen doesn't play by those rules, as we've learned. Wants to keep him. Going to try hard for him in free agency. And he said, and I thought this was a really nice quote. I actually want to say the full quote because I hope he hits 55 home runs. It makes it so difficult on me in free agency. I would call that a great outcome. That's the name of the game here, right? This is all going to be because his agent is not Boris. The name of the game here is Pete's going to hit free agency. He's going to try and get the most amount of money. If you were to extend Pete Alonso right now, you're probably overpaying for him. And I love Pete. But the talent, the skills that he brings, and these are great skills. Hitting a billion home runs is super fun and great, and it helps you win baseball games, as we've seen. But the skills that he gives at the position that he plays, because he's a right first baseman, there are not a lot of teams looking for that, because a lot of teams have not Pete Alonso level, but good enough. Right first basemans, or even not right first basemans, who can hit. Really, the teams that are going to be in on Pete are like, what? The Mets? The Cubs have been continuously in on him. Although, if like, it took them that long to keep Bellinger, and that was only because his market just cratered, and the only other things that they could do were, what? Hector Neris, I believe they signed, and Shoto Imanaga. They don't look like they're shelling out the, you know, probably, depending on what kind of year he has this year, it's probably going to be 150 to 200 million, would be my guess. Maybe up a little bit from 200, maybe 225, 250 if he really goes off this year. But, like, he's most important to the Mets. Again, I have said since before Boris, even, but especially once he signed with Boris, I saw this playing out, the Nimmo, kind of Diaz thing too, but more the Nimmo thing. Gets the free agency, sees what the market is, gets a sense of that, goes to the Mets. The Mets say, okay, we're going to beat the offer. Here's our offer. Signs, stays here. Because I think in a way, Pete realizes that being in New York is the best thing for him, right? He's built up such a following with this team. I talk about this, me and Thomas were literally recording this a few hours after I recorded my podcast Top of the Key about WNBA with Thomas Anderson, who you may know from Complex the Queens. Sorry, my allergies are acting up, so like I'm all congested and I'm coughing a little bit. I'm sorry for however I'm going to sound on this episode. But what I think it is like the, you know, we were talking about this in relation to the Liberty, the New York Liberty, and the why players would want to come here. And the Mets routine with what seems to be good culture, good people at the top running it in David Stearns and a good owner who wants to spend in Steve Cohen, a team that's trying to build out its processes, everything like that. Pete comes here, he's played here for years. Why would he want to leave to go somewhere that also is probably not going to afford him the same marketing opportunities? Because let's be real, Chicago can maybe compete, but it's still not going to be that big because LA and New York are like 1A, 1B, and then like Chicago's like 1.5. You know, like it's just not, it's almost there, but it's not quite there. And if anyone's listening from Chicago, trust, not dissing your city. I fucking love Chicago. I've never been there, but I've never been a lot of places, and I know that I probably would like Chicago the best out of all of the places I've never been in my life. But New York probably will offer him the best marketing options, because also he's been here for 6 years. He has the fan base already. He goes to Chicago. The thing is with Pete Alonso is, unlike Shohei Ohtani or, gosh, Aaron Judge or Francisco Lindor, frankly, Pete isn't at that level. Isn't at that star, superstar level, you know? He's like a couple of that. And people know him in Chicago, obviously. Baseball fans know him, but not in the way that, like, non-baseball fans know who Shohei Ohtani is, or non-baseball fans know who Bryce Harper is. They can go wherever the fuck they want. They don't, it doesn't matter. Pete has the fan base built in here, the relationship and the marketing of New York behind him. Why would he want to go anywhere else? So I genuinely, I don't think, if any of that makes sense, I don't think he goes anywhere. I'm not particularly terrified of that, and that could be something stupid, but I also wasn't particularly terrified of Brandon Nimmo going anywhere, because again, kind of fits here the best. So let's take a break. And when we come back, I want to do a little bit more general chat featuring someone I've mentioned in this bit. So when we come back, a little bit more talking baseball.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right. And we're back. So the name on everyone's lips this week, for better or mostly for worse, was Scott Boras. And sort of the controversy of the fact that I'm recording this on Thursday, February 29th. Tomorrow is March 1st. The season begins on, let's see, I know they're doing the Korea series, so let me look up the schedule, and I'll give you that opening day, and then just generally everyone else's opening day. ESPN. Okay, let's go March. I want to say, what is it? Is it the 22nd? Or is it after that? It's the Korea series. Let's look that up. First ever MLB games. This is great radio. I open up the segment and give you dead air for like 4 minutes. March 17th and 18th. Or no. Exhibition games on March 17th. Two games are on the 20th and the 21st. It's 7:05 p.m. local time, which I think is like 6 a.m. here. That's really fun. So that's theirs, and then the Mets opening day, just to give you an idea, I don't know that all the teams are on the same, March 28th. So we are less than a month from opening day. Tomorrow's March 1st. By the end of March, in 30 days, we will have seen many baseball games played. And in that time, in the time from the season ending, beginning of November, to March, Cody Bellinger signed about 4 days ago, right? He signed a 3-year, $80 million deal with the Cubs with two opt-outs, just to re-enter the market again next year or the year after. Blake Snell, Jordan Montgomery, Matt Chapman are all unsigned. And I think the worst part of this is, other than Snell having a little bit of heat in certain places, and Montgomery having the leak from the Red Sox of they had a Zoom meeting, which, based on this offseason, means, you know, absolutely nothing. none of them have any heat on them. Matt Chapman talked to the Giants for like a day, and then they signed like three guys since then. And people have been talking about, is Boris ruining baseball? This and that. This is terrible for the sport. And I don't disagree with that. I do think it's bad to have multiple big free agents not sign this late into the season. To have the, because I'm not quite casual. I'm like the next level up from casual, but I'm not like a die hard. They're my team, but I'm not like, you know, live and die by them just because they suck right now. But the Chicago Bulls, I'm a Chicago Bulls fan. So you told your people from Chicago, I don't hate you guys. I root for your team. I'm a Chicago Bulls fan. In the NBA, free agency doesn't start right after their championship. It takes a couple months. In that time, all the players talk to the teams. No one wants to say it's the case because it's technically tampering, but the free agents talk and everything like that, and players talk, and they get stuff settled, and then free agency hits, and bam, everyone's signed. Everyone's traded. You know, like, all the big people are done. And in its way, I don't think that's quite as fun. I do like sort of the dragged-out nature of it. You know, hearing, like, oh, this person's talking, this person's talking that one. I think there should be, a middle ground, right? Because Boris is trying to do this, and I think that what he does is good, right? The idea to get the players you represent the most money as possible to push forward the labor movement, right? Fantastic. Because at the end of the day, yes, these people are getting amounts of money that are obscene. No one should be making this amount of money. It's not ethical. But it's more ethical for Blake Snell to get like $200 million than it is for the, you know, owners of the Dodgers to be worth like billions and billions of dollars. It's more ethical to be a millionaire than a billionaire. Neither of them are entirely ethical, but being a billionaire is a thing that you can only do unethically. Right? Getting that amount of money is immoral. And I'll stand by that. But I also think that Boris underestimated this offseason particularly, because usually when Boris is representing clients, you know, it's Aaron Judge. I don't remember if he represents Aaron Judge. I assume he does. He represents everyone big in the game. Aaron Judge. Baseball reference. It's going to be really funny when I go in here. Does it have Arson Judge as one of his nicknames in Baseball Reference? That's so funny. It does. That's so funny. Okay, so his agent isn't Scott Boras. Let me just look up Scott Boras, because I want to get... But, like, because everyone I'm thinking... Bryce Harper, Manny Machado. I mean, Juan Soto next year is going to be the big one he's got. I mean, Chris Bryant, jeez. Carlos Correa. I'm trying to find, like, another really big name. Corey Seager, Marcus Semien, like, these guys, right? The big name free agents that people are going to want. Then that's one thing to be like, okay, we're going to hold out because someone's going to break. Someone's going to break for them. And the owners with this group, because this group I don't think are quite at that level. You can make an argument, I think, for Snell, right? Snell's a two-time Cy Young. But again, he's kind of all over the place. He won two Cy Youngs, but his other seasons aren't particularly great. Montgomery kind of put it all together in the second half this year, and, like, that's scary. People are like, I don't want to give that guy $200 million. He's been, like, mostly fine, but, like, you want me to pay him like he's, like, great? He might not be. He might fall apart in 2 years. Matt Chapman. I love Matt Chapman. You don't understand. The Mets, if they signed Matt Chapman today, I'd be thrilled. He's one of my favorite. Him, Harrison Bader. These are guys that I've loved for years. Matt Chapman. I love great defenders. There's nothing more fun to me than a great defender. But Matt Chapman can't fucking hit. He had that hip surgery like 4 years ago, and everyone was like, well, once he's recovered, everything will come back. And it didn't. Last year, he was like good. He's good in spurts, but he's not great. Bellinger had a bad couple years. He looked pretty good last year. But again, you don't know if that's true or not. This is a really weird group of players to be this hardline over, especially since, who was it? There was that rumor of like the 5-150 deal from the Yankees. It's more and more like he should have taken that for Snell. And like, I don't know, man. The owners might be colluding. I'm not going to sit here and act like the owners are perfect, innocent people. Again, like I said, these people have done unethical things. But, and I wouldn't put it past them to collude again, because clearly they colluded, you know, however many times in the last few years, I mean, to me, the biggest version of this is Harper and Machado, because there's no reason why those guys should have taken so long to sign. Those guys are superstars. But just this whole situation did not need to play out this way. And this will all get mostly forgotten next season when Juan Soto signs for $500 million or whatever, and that happens by like January 1st. And we're like, woo, but that's the thing. You're going to do that for Juan Soto because he's worth it. Because he looks like he's worth it. He's going to be in his prime, whatever. These guys are all have question marks in certain areas. And the other issue is Snell and Montgomery are going to have an even harder time, because the thing is, for Chapman and Bellinger's, like, you got to go in there, yeah, you got to get ready to hit or whatever. But you kind of just got to get shake the rust off in that case, right? Snell and Montgomery have to work their way into being able to pitch this season. Especially Snell. Snell has notoriously been a guy who takes a while to get warmed up. He might not, depending on how long this drags out, he might not pitch until like May or June, just because he's holding out. And the other thing I'm thinking about in this situation, and it's again that year with Machado and Harper, was that 2019? Craig Kimbrell and Dallas Keuchel just didn't sign until after the qualifying offer thing. And I think all these guys have qualifying offers, which is the other issue. Maybe not Montgomery. Chapman, I could see not signing until June. Really could. But yeah, it's tough. It's really tough. In the other baseball notable news this week, one that makes me smile and laugh, noted villain person I immensely dislike, Trevor Bauer, pitched against Barstool people, I believe, had them taking BP off of him. He's throwing, and they were able to get hits off of him. Dude is cooked, and because he's an idiot, what a shot. Oh, he's pretty litigious, let me say this. Because he's an idiot, allegedly, he did, and I just want to get this correct, because he kind of burned his bridge, apparently. Yes, here we go. So he was pitching in Japan. You could think, oh, you just go back to Japan, because they, you know, he was doing pretty good for them over there. You just go back to Japan. He burned his bridge there, because he's an idiot, allegedly. He supported this Japanese soldiers, Navy officer I'm reading here, who was in a car crash that killed two Japanese citizens. He's supporting this guy. He's like, they let him, I'm trying to see what the, he was released from Japanese custody while serving a 3-year prison sentence. And he came back to America, and Bauer said, welcome home. And, like, again, he's just allegedly an asshole all the time, publicly. And I think it's so fun to watch the downfall of allegedly bad people. It is the good kind of train wreck. Like, you know, we have to watch. We're in an election year, and this election is going to be terrible. I don't want us to pretend like it's not going to be. I've been having so much fucking anxiety over this today. This shit is going to suck. It's going to be a train wreck on all sides. Like, this is going to be a disaster. We have to realize that when we get the good kinds of train wrecks, we really got to savor them. This is a good one. This is a really good one. Anyway, let's cut it there. And when we come back, I'm going to do my movie minute. I'm very excited about this one. I love this movie so much. I'm excited to recommend it to you. I'm excited to get to talk about it. So, stick around. We'll be right back.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right. And we're back. I don't know why I said stick around and we'll be right back. I sounded like I was ending my monologue on SNL. So my movie minute this week, and I'm choosing this as my movie minute, A, because I love it, and B, because it didn't do super great in the box office this weekend, and I want to implore as many people as possible to go see it, because I think it's really fun, it's really short, and this is part of a planned trilogy, and I would love to see the other movies get made. I think they might, no matter what happens, get made just because the name's involved here. My movie minute this week is a movie called Drive Away Dolls. Now, I went into this movie knowing a little bit about it. This is wild. I gotta break this down for you. So, it's like a lesbian caper. I want to give you a brief synopsis, because I feel like the words that I use aren't going to do enough justice. But I have to tell you. So, these two lesbian best friends rent a car that isn't meant for them to rent, because they just sort of, they're going to the same place as these bad guys who killed someone for a briefcase. And they find out the briefcase is in the trunk. They open it up. They see the stuff that is in there. And the reveal of what the stuff is so funny. And then they get wrapped up into this whole crime thing. It is hilarious. And one of them, their ex-girlfriend, is a cop. And so she's like popping up to like help, but not helping, and then is helping. It's so great. So this movie was directed by Ethan Coen. That name sounds familiar. The Coen brothers, who did Fargo and Big Lebowski and Inside Llewyn Davis. There's Joel. They broke up. Although they're getting back together now for a horror movie, I believe. But they broke up. There's Joel. After the breakup, he did The Tragedy of Macbeth with Denzel Washington, which is also great. Highly recommend. Ethan Coen did a documentary on Jerry Lee Lewis, I believe. And then this is his narrative fictional debut without his brother. He co-wrote this, and I believe it was edited by as well. He co-wrote this with his wife, Trisha Cook. Now, I need you to understand what the dynamic is here. Because every time I think about this, I think I love this man. Because he is in the wackiest scenario. And, like, keep in mind, these two got married in, like, the late 80s, early 90s, I think. Maybe the late 90s, but, like, this is super progressive for now. This dude was pulling this shit, like, 30 years ago. He's married to this woman. They have a kid together. She's gay. And now they're in this polyamorous situation where they're still married, but, like, they each have their own partner. I love this. And you can, what I think is so great about this, you can't see me. I am grinning and I'm moving my hands around. I'm like gripping the air. I love this movie. It is an hour and 20 minutes. At the end, it's called Drive Away Dolls. At the end, it reveals that and this isn't a spoiler. I just feel like this sold me on the movie 100 times more, knowing that, like, oh, they're in this to win this and they didn't choose this. This is, like, you know, foisted upon them because you can't advertise a movie with this name on it publicly. At the end, it's revealed that the movie's actual name is Drive Away Dykes. Oh my god. I love this movie so much. Margaret Qualley, Geraldine Viswanathan. I found out that's the correct way to pronounce her name, and I love her. I love Margaret Qualley. I love Geraldine Viswanathan. If you have not seen Blockers, and if you have especially not seen Bad Education, highly recommend. She's a great actor. And Beanie Feldstein are our three queer leads. Beanie Feldstein's the cop again. If you haven't seen Booksmart, correct that. We talked about this when Christian was still on the show. We talked about it. Great movie. It's also got Colman Domingo, Oscar nominee Colman Domingo, Matt Damon, Pedro Pascal in a small role, Bill Camp. Genius in this movie. And then I have to give a shout out to, like, the two toughs who aren't really It's so... Hold on. Drive Away... Dolls. I'm doing 10 movies in 10 days for the Best Picture Film Festival, and I hope this is still in theaters after it, because I want to see this one more time in the theaters. Joey Slotnick and CJ Wilson. They're like the two heavies. They're so funny. Joey Slotnick looks like if someone flattened Paul Giamatti. Also, uncredited appearance by Miley Cyrus. And she's really fun in it. It's a really small role. Doesn't really matter, but it's campy, it's kitschy, it's B-movie, like, the transitions between scenes, it's leaning into it. It is set in the queer Philadelphia scene, and then also, like, just sort of, like, the 1999, like, the vibe of that. They're in Florida for a bunch of it, so you can imagine. The performances, I want to really single this out. This movie made me so happy. This is the kind of thing where, like, I watched it, it ended, and I literally texted, because I knew my friends who were interested in it. I texted my friends, I was like, you don't understand. I didn't just love this movie. I think this is one of my favorite movies of all time. It is so much fun. This is the kind of gay movie I want. This kind of queer movie I want. We went through so many years before the queer movies were, and I don't have a problem with them continuing to make these. If you haven't, especially queer filmmakers have a very specific point of view on this stuff. So I don't have a problem with films about coming out or anything like that, anything in that realm, family rejection, societal issues. I don't have a problem with that. I'd love to see that point of view, but I also just want fun stuff. I want the book smarts. I want the bottoms. I want the driveway dykes. This is so much fun. Margaret Qualley is giving it her all. I've never seen someone give so much to, like, this specific kind of performance. Like, she is, every inch of her is in this. She is just in the pocket. She knows this character so well. And it ended, and I was like, she's really married to Jack Antonoff. Man, you would never guess. Geraldine Viswanathan. There are, again, in the same way that Margaret Qualley gives her all to this sort of free spirit, there's a line that Beanie Feldstein has. What? I forget what the, I hope it's on IMDb, because it made me laugh. I recommend you actually go to, like, their social media, because the clips from this movie, I could read the whole script. It would not do justice to the deliveries of all of these lines. Geraldine Viswanathan is also so in it with her body, because Margaret Qualley is so free. She's playing this so free, so open. Hips first. I think it's really interesting to watch how actors walk in character. Hips first. Sex first. Geraldine Viswanathan, head first. Mind first. And that plays into the characters, plays into them. She's too much in her head. Oh, so quote section. This is a great quote where it's literally, Beanie Feldstein says something to the effect of, like, put a pussy meter on her pussy, and we could all get drinks. It was so funny. It's gonzo. But if you want to just have a good time, I recommend it. And also, if you're like me and you don't like being in a crowded movie theater, the week the Dune Part 2 comes out is the perfect time to see this movie, because everyone else is going to be in Dune Part 2, counter-programming. And keep this thing in theaters for one more week so I can see it after the Oscars. Do it for me. Do it for Grace. Grace wants to watch Driveway Dolls again on the big screen. So that's my movie minute. I hope I convinced you enough. I also just want to say, next week, I'm going to do our second part, unless something cataclysmic happens. Next week, I'm going to be dedicating the whole second segment of the show to the Oscars, because a week from this upcoming Sunday, so in about 10 days, 11 days, the Oscars are happening. So I'm going to dedicate a whole segment to the Oscars. I'm going to give my picks for the major categories, probably do the top 8 plus, like, the other feature categories, animated, international, documentary, stuff like that. I'll give my picks, I'll give recommendations and stuff that I really like in these categories, that stuff that I thought got snubbed, anything like that. And So keep an eye out for that next week. And don't be disappointed if I don't talk too much baseball, because this is the handoff you're getting here. After next week, the Oscars are over. They don't happen again for another year. So I can't talk about them again for another year. Let me have this one thing. I don't know why I'm acting like you're not. You've no bearing or whatever I do for the show. Anyway, enough rambling. Thank you for listening. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at FIBpod. You can follow us on Instagram at FlushingIsBurningPod. And you can email us at FlushingIsBurning@gmail.com. I am sorry for not posting this past week. Life comes at you fast. If you like this show, I really recommend. I assume you listen to the other shows at home on Applesauce. If you don't, you should probably get on that. Complex Queens, as I mentioned before. Pot of Their Own, Today Your Love, Tomorrow World Series. So many great shows on this network. If you like those and you like this one, assume you like this one because you've made it to the end. Go to homerunapplesauce.com and there's a link. It says Patreon. And I'll let you guess what that is. That's right. It's the Patreon. Click on that. You go in there. I think it's $5 a month. That gets you exclusive access to our Discord server. I know I said about 4 weeks ago I'd be better at posting it on it. I didn't lie. I'm just bad at following through. You get exclusive episodes when those happen. Somewhat frequently. Not super frequently, but every once in a while. I know they do sometimes exclusive playlists. Those are great. I haven't done one yet. That's probably a good thing. My playlists are all over the place. I'm not a good playlist maker. I know there's people that do that. They're like, create a vibe playlist. I don't do that. My playlists are like the 100 songs that I most want to hear right now. And then I add new songs to them. And that's how you get a playlist that like goes from like Kendrick Lamar to like fucking like Carly Simon. I'm crazy. All that good stuff on Patreon.com. Is there anything else? I feel like there's something else I always plug on here. Did the Patreon. Did the shows. Did the social media. I think that's it. I could be wrong. If I didn't, go back to last episode. Listen to the whole thing. I guarantee it's great. Might not be. I think it is. Go to the end. And at the end, if I said something there that I didn't say for this one, just consider that the extra part of this ending. Thank you so much for listening. And I will see you next week for a big Oscars episode. I think I'm also going to, I know I'm throwing this right in at the end, but I just had the thought. I'm going to find the Faye Vincent book when I talk about Paul Giamatti, just so you can understand what goes through my brain every time I hear the name Giamatti. So I might do that too. Small thing. Anyway, thank you for listening. Goodbye. And good night. And good luck. Don't let me do podcasts at 10:30 at night anymore.